Folks, my first topic today will be blocking improper closing arguments. Now, we all know that there's a lot of license given to lawyers and to prosecutors in making closing arguments. As a matter of fact, in one case, State versus Burns, they put it this way. In the final argument, it is the lawyer's time-honored privilege to, and then they quoted from Shakespeare, drown the stage in tears, make mad the guilty and appall the free, confound the ignorant and amaze indeed the very faculties of eyes and ears. That's the lawyer's role in closing argument. Incidentally, that's pretty heady stuff. Drown the stage in tears. We wonder what would happen if a lawyer really did that. Well, some have. And the question, is it proper to cry in closing argument? Not very widely litigated, but fortunately the Supreme Court of Tennessee has seen fit to look into that. The lawyer, in closing argument, deluged the courtroom in his crying and in his tears. They had to lead him away from the jury rail back to counsel table, at which point he was sobbing as the jury went out. The result of all of this was pretty effective, and the appeal isolated for the Tennessee Supreme Court the question of, was it proper for the lawyer to cry in closing argument? And the response of the Tennessee Supreme Court on that great legal question, was it proper to cry in closing argument? Indeed, they said it would be wrong for the lawyer not to do so, so long as the tears were readily available to trial counsel. So if it's not contrived, it's good, says the Tennessee Supreme Court. Well, ladies and gentlemen, even within these liberal parameters for closing argument, there are still some broadly adopted no-nos, proscriptions, prohibitions, recognized in Florida and Georgia and broadly across the country. Each of these will be grounds for the trial lawyer's objection to the over-the-top prosecutorial argument where each of these particular fields are ventured into by prosecutorial counsel. The first of those broadly recognized no-nos, the golden rule argument. Now, that's the argument where the lawyer for the state invites the jury to place themselves in the position of the victim of the crime. For example, in a driving case, a drunk driving case, members of the jury, put yourself in the car seat of the victim. See this terrible crash from his perspective with the drunken defendant's Buick bearing down on him. The golden rule argument. Place yourself in the position of one of the principals in this case. Barred, prohibited. Reason? Too effective. Well, they don't really say that. They say it asks the jury to depart from neutrality and take a position based on emotion. And so in both Florida and Georgia, this is a prohibited form of argument. In addition to the Georgia case, which is cited in my outline, I'd also like to commend to you Braley versus State, 276 Georgia 47, where the Georgia Supreme Court says, very directly confirming the message I've been giving here, it's improper to suggest that the jury imagine how the assault felt to the victim. Same thing in a driving case. And in Florida, on golden rule arguments, see Tieso v. Metro Dade County, Tieso v. Metro Dade County, 426-426, Southern 2nd, 1156. Next, assuming facts not in the record. Now, we've all heard that. The lawyer cannot assume facts not in the record, except there are some nuances and some sophistications here that I want to go into with our audience. A lawyer can argue matters outside the record if they are of common public knowledge or are matters based upon ordinary human experience. For example, the defense lawyer is permitted to say in closing argument. Members of the jury, most of you know how hard it is to turn the steering wheel of a car once the power steering has gone out. And that's what the defendant claims happened here. There may be no evidence in the record to show exactly how hard it is to turn the steering wheel of a car once the power steering has gone out, but that's a matter of knowledge based on ordinary human experience.